It's been almost 5 years since we started this journey of building a software tool to liberate and educate entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. This podcast reveals the tips and strategies we and our fellow entrepreneurs have used to start, build, grow, and scale their companies. My name is Dave Woodward. Join me as I take you behind the scenes so you can hear what works, what doesn't, and the strategies being used to get your message out to the world. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. This is going to be a fun podcast. I've been trying to get this guy on my podcast now for weeks, only because he came into my universe here a couple weeks ago. Literally a dozen people said, oh my gosh, you've got to get a hold of Daxi Perez. This is the one and only guy who knows every single thing there is about podcasting. So I want to welcome to the show the one and only Mr. Daxi Perez. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, man. I love the community, and probably all the people you talk to are probably some of my favorite people to work with. So yeah, I'm super excited to like really just kind of share what I know here and try to give people some value who are listening. So,
well, I appreciate that. I know for us, one of the biggest things we look at is trying to find different ways of people getting their message out. Now, there's a ton of different things. Obviously, if you're a blogger, you typically end up writing. If you're listening to this podcast, it means you're probably a person who likes podcasting. And so I thought, what a better thing than actually get someone on the podcast who talks a ton about podcasting. You've got this crazy record of getting people ranked in like the top 100 podcasts. So I want to dive into that. I want to talk about also some of the things I found interesting to me is we've crossed through this 300, mysterious 300 level inside of iTunes. And for some reason, downloads and things seem to change. I want to talk to you a little bit about that piece. One of the cool things is I want to talk to you really about this whole idea as far as a foundation of a successful podcast. So that's some of the stuff we're going to cover today. But with that, Daxi, as you take a look at podcasting, why did you pick that as the medium for you to focus in on?
Yeah. So, I mean, I define entrepreneurship as just kind of like, you have a lot of opportunities and you try everything and whatever makes the most sense, you just kind of run with that, whatever's working the best. And one of my first passions in high school was producing music. It still was my passion. I have some DJ turntables right there. So I learned early, that was probably the first thing I ever learned from myself was how to produce music. So I've always been interested in audio. And fast forward a little bit to college when I changed majors like 3 or 4 times. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went strictly the online route, started buying online courses, trying everything. Had some success with e-commerce, but I was always side hustling, like had a few different income streams, never had a main source. And one of the things that worked well for me was freelancing, podcasting back like 2015, 2016. So in that opportunity, networking, I was a digital nomad for a little bit. If you guys don't know what that is, that means you kind of work on your laptop and you travel. You actually save money doing that.
Isn't it great? I'm amazed. Everyone says, I can't afford to do that. I'm like, you actually will save more money by actually being a nomad than living where you're at.
Yeah, Thailand, it was actually hard to spend money. Like I was getting multiple massages a day. Like it was great. So what was cool about that is you meet a lot of other digital nomads, you network. I ended up meeting some people who had some big agencies in podcasting. They worked with a lot of big shows. Some of you guys might know some of the hosts, but through that, I got into the world probably 4 years ago. I started learning, and then probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I'm like, I could do this. I could probably do it better. So I kind of made the leap, and just opportunities kept coming, and I kept taking them. So
love it. I think that's one of the things I've heard and seen so much about you is you literally are one who's not afraid to take that leap. And more importantly, that once you take that leap, you go all in on it. You don't dabble.
Yeah.
You literally are like, if I'm going to take this leap, I'm going for it.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes that actually changed my life the most, I was reading the book Everything Store from Jeff Bezos, and he talked about, the book was about him, about his decision to start Amazon. He was sitting pretty, working on Wall Street, making a lot of money in the 90s, and he puts his decision through the regret minimization factor. So if he thinks like when I'm 80 years old, if I regret not making this decision, then I have to do it because regret is worse than failure because you can't fix regret. But failure, you can learn from it. It goes to the next step, whatever. So yeah.
I love that. Regret is worse than failure. That's such a great motto. Yeah. I love that idea. Well, let's kind of talk about this whole podcast. And when you look at what makes a successful podcast, what are some of the things that, what can you basically tell our listeners? What are the things they need to, if they want to create a podcast, what should they do?
Yeah. So podcasting is a broad term, by the way. I like to think of it as just communication. So there's different kinds of podcasts. Some of them we don't specialize in, I'll be honest. Like we're not into the entertainment niche. There's some weird podcasts out there. Like there's sports and there's comedy. There's different kinds of podcasts, but the foundation is just communication. as far as like the people listening, if you're in the educational space and you're trying to teach people, the foundation, there's four main things. First is understanding you. What is your unique gifts, your unique talents? What is special about you that you can kind of like make the theme of your show? Because if you're speaking to people, then you are the show. Like Russell says, like every movement needs a leader, and a good podcast is a movement. You're just making a lot of noise. First thing is understanding you. The second thing is understanding your market. How are you making a blue ocean? Like, who are you speaking to? Where are they at? The third thing to understand is the avatar, specifically what are their current problems you could speak about. And then the fourth thing to understand is like, what is your unique message? Like, what is your unique solution to the people you're speaking to? If you have those four things in place, to me or to us, like that's how we develop a good foundation. And then everything else is just marketing and kind of just consistency and longevity. So
I appreciate that. I know for us, when we started the Funnel Hacker Radio podcast, Russell already had Marketing Secrets. At the time it was Marketing in Your Car.
it still kind of is Marketing in Your Car, but
it is totally depending where he's at. So it was one of the ideas we had with this concept of what if we actually use that as a way of reaching out to our funnel hacking community. And we were bringing on originally a lot of the people who were having success in ClickFunnels. And we started with that. And then we started adding my own thoughts and experiences as I was traveling. And then we've also brought in other people who are outside of the community, but who can provide value. So as I kind of go through your four things there, our avatar basically is our ClickFunnels users.
Yeah.
And the big problem, I guess, that we're trying to solve for most of them is, for some, it's motivation. It's how to get going. For others, it's, I'm already at this level. And again, we always talk about, we're trying to get to the one comma club, the two comma club, our eight figure club, and soon our nine figure club. And so we look at each podcast, I'm trying to think, who's the audience that we have for that? How can we get that going? So for this podcast episode, for example, right now, this is a pretty broad range. It appeals to anybody. If you're just getting started, if you've already got a movement, and how you can accelerate that movement, how you can provide greater value to that movement, how you can take it to that next level. I know you're working with Stacy and Paul Martino.
And they're some of my favorite people. They're amazing.
I was literally just voxing back and forth with her before you and I got on the call. She's moving to Boise.
I know. She's lucky to be there.
She arrives tomorrow. But it was fun just kind of seeing the things, because I remember in inner circle meetings for her, she was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to do podcasting. That's never going to work. My audience isn't going to listen. And now she has so many leads generated from her podcast. Again, huge tribute to you and what you've done for her. Obviously, her content.
I mean, it's easy. It's easy, like when you work with someone who really has an awesome message. They're really the best at what they do, and she's the best in her market, I think. They're like top 10 relationship podcasts in the U.S. right now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How did you help them get to that?
So a lot of it is leveraging, because we work with certain people in our agency, because to get into the charts, you have to leverage an existing audience for the algorithm to help. The algorithm, so iTunes doesn't tell you everything. That's what's annoying. But based off of like, you know, reading and researching, the main things are rating and reviews, downloads, subscriptions, and listen time. So it's really just getting people to listen a lot and to share it organically. Word of mouth is the most traffic. Like if you listen to people like Andy Frisella, like one of the biggest call to actions he makes is to just share this to one person if you like this. Because you usually trust people who tell you, whether it's like reposting on Instagram or your friend telling you. And micro content, like, I mean, it's ClickFunnels, hook, story, offer. I'm sure you guys are aware. The hooks are everything. And really trying to make your content exist well on the visual medium and a text medium to get people to the podcast. That's been a big focus on ours and really getting people to like building the hype. So that's what we did a lot with her. And, kind of launching too is something I learned from Steve Larson. We kind of launched with the sideways webinar, and then present a call to action. And that worked really well.
Explain to people, when you say sideways webinar, I know what you're talking about, but explain it for those people who might not know what you're referring to. Cause Steve done an amazing job of this on multiple podcasts he's launched now.
Yeah, before, because I've never done webinars, I didn't really know what that meant until. So starting off with, like, obviously, we usually start off with a trailer episode just to let people know, because that's actually an episode type that you can have in your podcast. So it's always at the top. So new people, it's just like a 3-minute episode. But usually starting with your origin story, letting people know who you are, why they should listen to you, et cetera. Starting with the biggest vehicle false belief. So the biggest false belief about your market someone might have. I'll just use me as an example. The biggest false belief might be podcasting doesn't work, you know? So how could I overcome that through content and position myself and have a unique opinion? Second is internal. So what's their biggest insecurity, like inside? I don't know what to say in a podcast. How could I create an episode about that? Third is external. So their excuse, how to save time with how to do a podcast 1 hour a week or something that combats that. And then you want to present a call to action. Something that we do for a call to action episode that's actually worked well is like one client recently, we did a case study episode. They interviewed someone who had an amazing result for whatever they're selling. But if they wanted the second part of that case study, they had to opt in to the email or join their Facebook group.
So really? Did that work well?
Yeah, it worked well. And then there's also, you can do that in several episodes. It doesn't have to be just a call to action episode. So that's kind of how we position the launch episodes. And it's you want to make your biggest boulders you can throw pretty much and make a big, like awesome impact in the beginning. So
I love that. Make the biggest boulders you can throw.
Yeah.
Such a cool way. Great analogy.
Not even rocks, just boulders.
Talking about throwing rocks at your enemies. We're talking about boulders here. I love it. So now we're sitting there and I've got it launched. How do you get traction? How do you get people to actually rate and review? I mean, the hard part is you got someone who's listening to it and now I've got to take them off and do something else. How do you actually get people to rate and review it, to share it? What are the things you're finding actually you're working with your audience?
Yeah. So, I mean, asking obviously is really good organically in your content in the start, like even if it's in the beginning of your episode, just really emphasize the importance of it. Your outros, something that we actually did recently with Christy Code Red, that's worked amazingly well. Just a little ninja trick. She does a Q&A episode once a month. We make it so that for you to get your question answered and to get shouted out, because people love getting shouted out, like whether you drop their username or their website, you have to put it in a rating and review. And that's kind of her call to action. And she's gotten a ton of ratings and reviews. She's top 30 fitness and nutrition.
So the question is in the ratings and reviews?
If you want her to answer a question, it has to be a rating and review.
That's ninja.
Yeah. So like once a month, she'll go through ratings and reviews. She'll shout people out. She'll answer questions. And it's worked very well. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. Then if you're smaller, like it all goes down in the DM, like you just have to reach out to people, like take your mom's phone, put a rating review, like just take people's phones, but like, don't take them, borrow them. yeah. So,
so tell me on the rating and reviews, is this, because one of the things I was talking with Steve Larson about recently was, I know he gets his transcribed and everything else, and we're looking at blog and SEO. Do you find value in that?
For SEO? The transcripts?
All right.
Yeah.
So I go back and forth on the transcripts. Are they that necessary? Is it something of value? And if they are of value, how do you use them?
So we actually like automate our transcripts. There's a lot of services out there that it's just robotic. It's like 95% correct, because we're not really reusing them, because like, a podcast is people listen, like you don't want them to read. I mean, I don't think people read. Obviously doing key takeaways and like timestamps is important to let people know where to go, but you really want them to listen. So it obviously helps if you're talking about an episode about like marketing and you say marketing like 20 times in the episode to have that on the page just for juice. But other than that, if you want to you can repurpose them for blogs if you want. If there's like, if you go through different sections of in a episode, and like for one section you talk about this topic, that could be a blog post. You have someone kind of repurpose your words, add in images. I know Steven and Helen, who's on his team, she does amazing blogs. Like she'll format it good, she'll do the images.
Okay, but you're not finding that unless you're looking to actually create a blog, that's not really a necessary thing for you to do to get you.
I mean, if you're a category king, it might be good to do and you're already getting a lot of traffic, but like if you're starting out, it's not the biggest bang for the buck, I find. So
I appreciate that, because I know a lot of people are like, one of the reasons they don't want to do a podcast is like, it's all the work. Well, I've got to do my show notes, and I got to do this, and I got to do
I tell people too, when they're starting out, like figure out your main, like master one platform first and get good at it. Have one platform for discoverability. So where are people discovering you? And then what's your main platform for communication? So where are people who are following you? How are you communicating with them the most? So you want to have at least one, and then you can obviously branch out as it grows. So
that's awesome. So a platform to discover and a platform to communicate, huh?
At least. I mean, it can obviously, when you get bigger and you have a team, it could be different. So yeah.
Oh, I love that idea. Well, as you take a look at scaling a podcast, so now we've got a podcast and let's say I've got, 40, 50 episodes and I'm kind of in the groove. How do I actually scale it? How do I improve my ranking? What are the things that as you may have mentioned earlier, the algorithm with iTunes is all over the board.
Yeah, it's not going to grow organically, not in today's day and age. People aren't searching iTunes like for questions like Google. Obviously, utilizing YouTube, posting yourself on YouTube because it's a great, it ranks well in Google, actually, YouTube videos.
I'm going to cut you off there real quick. Are you recommending that you do a video podcast and then strip the audio?
Yeah, that's actually what I was about to say. The best thing is to evolve into a video show. When you get, obviously a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. If you tell them to do a video and a podcast for 20 minutes straight, they might get anxiety. So you might want to master the audio first, but especially Christy Code Red, we got her to go on video. She's a natural, by the way. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing.
Now she's addicted to it. She's giving us too much content. but her social, downloads went up 50% just from including video, just because for micro content, video is way better. It's more engaging. People like to look at a face. If you do an audiogram, there's not anything for your eyes to follow. Look at the best
audiogram.
An audiogram is just where it shows the waveform, moving.
Gotcha. Yep.
It's nice, for teasers, 10, but long for micro content, 3-5 minutes. We study Joe Rogan and how he kind of still is super number one. All the stuff that goes viral on YouTube, it's never his full episode. It's his episode 3 hours. It's usually they chop up his episodes into a lot of hooks, and they'll have just they'll test headlines and so an episode of Elon Musk would be 15 different clips, 3 to 15 minutes. And then those little clips of Elon Musk opinion about NASA or whatever, those will go viral. So he gets wider reach by repurposing. That's kind of how we built our agency to kind of repurpose. And a lot of it I learned from ClickFunnels actually. People like Peng Joon and Steve Larson and stuff. So
no, I love that. So you're basically repurposing the video content into smaller video pieces. And then are you doing call to actions on those? Are they linking to the actual larger video? What's the
the episodes, usually you have the call to action kind of at the end. You present a plan of action. We tell people too, it's a good, and if you're listening, if you have a podcast, it's good to train your listeners to take action. And it always doesn't have to be action where it's opt in, just to do something, So if you have a podcast for meditation and you talk about these meditation techniques at the end, you have to kind of tell them to do it. all right guys, so I want you to do these 3 steps, do it right now. Stop your car now. do them and then let me know how it was. Hit me up in the DMs, repost on Instagram if it helped. If you actually train people to take action and they do it, they'll associate that result with you because you helped them get there. So.
Oh, I love that idea. Dude, that's super cool.
You got to train your listeners to do things. So yeah.
So as you take a look at, I love the fact that you basically said you're not going to get organic growth to increase your downloads.
You could. Traffic? Well, it's interesting. So as we're speaking right now, it's the 6th of August. iTunes is changing all of their categories. If you actually go to iTunes right now, there is no categories because they're changing everything. So they removed a lot of categories and they added a lot of new categories. So right now, if you're listening to this, there's a huge vacuum in these categories because people aren't indexing in them because these old podcasts don't know, that there's these new categories that no one's indexing in. So we've switched all of our clients to them. We had one client, you probably know him. His podcast is a passion project. He just likes to talk to people. We put him in the business news category. It's top 100. He's never ranked. He doesn't get many downloads. Tyler Jorgensen, Biz Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Biz Ninja.
Tyler's awesome.
Yeah. Tyler's the man. He's top 100. So So right now is the best time to launch just because of that reason. And I don't know if they're going to change the algorithms. And also the ratings and reviews and everything is just for iTunes, which is still about 70% of your listeners. Every other platform doesn't have a ranking. So if you go to Spotify, there's no charts. That's why the charts are cool, but I don't foresee iTunes holding 70% of the market in the future. So that's why you got to master, spreading out your repurposing your content to social media to get people to the podcast because the charts can't rely on the charts forever. So
dude, that's awesome. So tell me then if I'm taking a look at repurposing the content, obviously YouTube, are you finding repurposing it to Instagram? I know I see the audio files on Instagram all the time, Facebook.
Stories are awesome. Instagram stories, Facebook stories, emails. There's different kind of emails you can do. You can do summaries. LinkedIn is really hot right now. Definitely if you're in like business, LinkedIn's amazing. Like I actually have some friends who are getting insane results because LinkedIn, the algorithm's kind of like, if people like your post, then their friends will see it. And then like, it can go pretty viral on LinkedIn right now. Paid traffic obviously is another option. Pinterest is great. If you have a female demographic, it's amazing. What were you gonna say?
I would say, so like on LinkedIn, are you doing an article? Are you posting the actual audio file? Are you posting a video? What are you posting on LinkedIn?
We're posting on their feed, and usually we've experimented with just like a graphic and a video. You can use hashtags on LinkedIn too. So as far as people discovering you that way. So you test it out pretty much, but yeah.
Are you doing much paid traffic?
For launches we do. That's actually something we've been experimenting with more in-house. For launches we definitely do. It's really easy to promote like a launch and do like a giveaway and do paid traffic. It's awesome to get opt-ins. But we found that it works well too if you have other campaigns already running for just content marketing, if you want to do paid traffic, because then people who watch percentages of your videos, that's a great retargeted audience. Like they just warm themselves up if they watched half of your paid content video. We're still trying to master just the paid organic route, but Pinterest ads we found works pretty well. Messenger is pretty good too. They have some good ads.
So on your ads, are you driving them to an opt-in page? Are you driving them directly to the podcast? Where are you driving to?
Driving them to a Messenger bot is really good actually, because you get a subscriber.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. And then you obviously give them the options like, hey, do you want to listen on YouTube? Hey, do you want to listen here? There's some ninja ways. When we launch, we usually do a giveaway and that gets them on our email list. And then from there, we can nurture and promote the podcast there through email. So
are you, anybody subscribes to your email list? Are you sending them out an email every time a new podcast comes out?
Yeah, but like not positioned as a podcast. Just kind of like, with a hook in the title. So they won't know it's a podcast from the email. But it'll be like a teaser description. And if they want to listen to the rest, so you kind of present them what it's going to be about. And then if they want to listen to the rest, here's the options to do so. Using images will work well too. If you do that, we've seen the importance of having good visual graphics to promote your podcast. Cause it's more eye popping. It's more engaging to look at. Something that we've done actually too, I know Christy or Stacy actually has been implementing it. If you have a lot of customer support in your business and you get a lot of questions, you can turn them into podcast episodes. So
that's a great idea.
The emails you do, you can say, hey, here's a 2-minute or here's like a 3-sentence answer. If you want more help, we did a podcast about this. Go listen to it. And now they just went into your podcast funnel. And they'll subscribe and they'll listen, you know? So that's worked way, very well for us. So
that's a great idea. I love that idea. Yeah. Super cool. So Dax, tell me as you look at, I know you're recommending a lot as far as the video, you're repurposing content. When we start looking at continuing to kind of grow and build the business, I know like for Funnel Hacker Radio, we're over 1 million downloads and everything else. Some of the people now are telling me, you know what, Dave, you need to, I think this is going to be episode 360 some odd. They're starting to say now, well, you need to start archiving these. Why would that matter? And is it even that important?
Yeah, I don't think it's important, to be honest. Yeah. I hear a lot of people talk about it. I think it's an Apple thing, first of all. Other platform, or actually some apps actually have a cap too. But like I've seen a lot of big podcasts, they go past 300. And they're still successful. So
I was talking to John Lee Dumas last night. We were down in Vegas, and you know he's like 2,600 episodes or now. I mean, just crazy.
Wow.
And he's like, well, I don't know. I keep going back and forth, but I've seen others where you know season one, season two, season three type of thing. And I'm just trying to find out what's the logic behind it. Why would it matter for a person who's going to be doing this a long time? What are some of the tricks to either breaking it up like that or archiving them?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you'd have to look at the data, see like are your old episodes even still getting downloads, you know? And is it that important to you? Because like starting a new podcast and stuff, there's starting from scratch. It's obviously you get the credibility of launching again, which can get you on New and Noteworthy, but then you kind of lose all those episodes and you lose the subscribers, and losing subscribers isn't fun. So I've never done it. I haven't heard the good enough argument. Maybe I just haven't been educated well enough in it. So
that's great. So when you say subscribers, because this keeps coming, people are saying, so are they subscribing to my podcast on iTunes? Are they subscribing to my email? When you say subscribing, it's a pretty large term. What's that really mean?
They subscribe to your podcast. So they get notifications and they download your new episodes. Some apps it's automatic, some it's not. But it pretty much it's almost like you subscribe to a YouTube channel, like you're in their feed now. And they can see your artwork as part of their feed. So yeah.
Awesome.
And it's podcasting is awesome because like, it's almost like if you made an audiobook, it would be a lot of work, right? And that's like 2 hours. I think of podcasting as like a documentary of your life. Like it could be someone listening to you for long form content for a long period of time. It's almost like each episode could be a chapter, you know, for a long, I don't know any other platforms that are like that, where it's like the amount of hours that gets consumed that we see, it's usually like 80% average too of episode. It's like, it's a lot of hours when you add them up. And in a marketer, the dream is attention, you know? So.
No, I was talking to Steve Larson about that just the other day, as far as his whole big thing is, you know, we've gone from the information age to the attention age, and yes, really focusing in on, it is an attention grab, and it's as much, I'm trying to get as many people's attention as possible. And especially with people being presented with so many different things these days, it's like, well, how do I actually get that attention? Which leads me kind of the next thing I wanted to ask you is, when you're looking at trying to get their attention to download or listen to that, what are some of the things that matter most?
So honestly, like one of the things we do first, I was actually talking to Blake Newbar about this. We were hanging out in Orlando, and kind of when he would, because he's amazing at building funnels, and he talks about one of the most important things before you build a funnel, Russell talks about this, is doing the research, you know, pulling out your credit card, buying the stuff, and seeing like what's happening behind the scenes, like what's working. Obviously, if you're researching for podcasts, you don't have to pull out your credit card. It's a free platform. You just got to like give some attention, but like really see and study your market, your ocean, and seeing what kind of formats are working. How are they delivering it? Like how are they repurposing it? Like where are they communicating, and seeing what you can learn from the market in general. That's one of the first things we do. We do a lot of research. And then from there, as far as, could you repeat your question again? Kind of dropped in my mind.
I was just really kind of taking a look at trying to get their attention. What are the best ways of getting their attention? Are you looking at the images? Yeah. Are you looking at the headlines? I mean, what are the things that...
Oh yeah. It's pretty fundamental. It's just like your headlines. I really like, and I don't know if it's just because I'm the perfect avatar, I love like Alex Sharfin and like Traffic and Funnels, where it's pretty like short headlines and they're just like very just like emotional driven, but not like super long. So yeah, it's having your hooks kind of lead to emotions is very well. There's different types of headlines. Like Jim Edwards has like amazing, he has that podcast generator. So you can do the curiosity headline, like they're copywriting. There's so many different headline types.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that. Well, last question with regard to the whole idea as far as video. When you're looking at, like, take for example, we're recording this on video and I've never really used these videos before. I just like being able to see who I'm talking to. Is this something where I should actually be using this video on YouTube then? Or do these videos not as an interview?
100%. Well? Yeah. I mean, so if someone searches my name, this could pop up 2 years from now on the top of Google. You get a lot of, you can do a lot in the descriptions of the videos, a lot of cross promoting. We're really big on cross promoting on every platform. Like promoting your podcast on your YouTube, promoting your YouTube on your podcast, like getting, try to get everybody everywhere. There's specific strategies you can do for YouTube, but I love video. From what kind of mic are you using?
I have the Blue Yeti.
Oh, okay. I have a kind of a hate relationship with those. Cause I could, yeah.
My audio's like, not coming through the way you want it to.
Exactly. Yeah. Just because audio quality is like really important for people. It's like a subconscious thing. People will associate quality with how it sounds.
So what's the mic I need?
Yes. So we can give you several options, but you want a dynamic mic. So something like this, like a dynamic microphone, is something that, you know, when you see news reporters out in the field and they like put a mic to your face, that's because it picks up better, more noise in a certain radius. A Yeti actually picks up, it's a condenser, so it actually picks up more noise in your ear. So it'll like pick up echoes and reverberations, and it sounds like there's less clarity in their voice. So then it translates, the message is kind of like weaker, we find. So
really? Okay. So yeah. I need
it. It's a lot of it's subconscious, you know? So.
No, I appreciate that. Cause my earlier podcast, everyone said I was just using the mic on my computer, and I was like, oh, it was terrible. And so someone sent me a Blue Yeti mic. And so I've been using that. And then when I do my own, I actually just use them off iRecorder on my phone. If I'm just recording my own.
Oh, they have, yeah. And then you probably want a lapel mic for that.
Lapel mic for that? Okay.
Yeah. We could send you one, Dave. We'll send you one.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to hire you is probably what's going to happen here.
We have the ClickFunnels address. I'm actually going to Boise, for OfferMine. I'm so excited for that.
Steve. Perfect. I can't wait to see you up here for that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, again, I could talk to you for hours, and I probably will end up just hiring you after this call. But so tell me, as far as if people want to find out more about you, what's the best way of them reaching out?
Yeah. So I have a Facebook group, and if you join, we have an ultimate guide to podcasting that me and my partner, Ryan Helms, made. Super smart guy. He has a successful podcast too. It's 150 pages of literally like how to start a podcast from start to finish, all the techie stuff, screenshots, if you join the Facebook group. So you can chat with me in there. And we have a website too, if you want to see what we do in our agency, legacypodcasting.com. So
awesome. Well, again, Daxi, such a pleasure. It's nice to put a name to a face. I've heard so much about you. Again, you're become kind of this quick legend in my mind here over the last couple of weeks where everyone's been talking about you.
That's awesome, man.
All we're talking about it. Obviously, Steve Larson's been talking to me. Tyler actually been mentioned as well. So congrats on all your success. And again, everyone, if you want to go ahead and look up the Facebook group, it's Podcast Success Secrets. And you can go ahead and join there and follow up with Daxi over there. Thanks so much, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Right now, as we're going on our journey to 100,000 users, we really want to invite you along. And one of the ways we can invite you along is we want to find out what you think about what we're currently doing. So please rate, review this, share this with others, take a picture of this and post on Instagram, tag us in it, tag Funnel Hacker Radio or tag Dave Woodward. We'd love to know what your thoughts are. And most importantly, the ways that we can actually help you journey to whatever number of users or customers or community you're trying to build. Remember, you're just one funnel away.